Good to see you here this day. The book of Acts, we're still in it. Chapter 5 today. I hope you're following along and you're reading in the book of Acts as we seem to just keep trucking right on. So today we're in chapter 5, and you see it says trouble in the church. We've seen some great things with the Holy Spirit up to this point. And the book of Acts, we've talked about the ascension of the Lord, and we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and His power coming upon us. We talked about how the people were joined together constantly in prayer. The day of Pentecost and all the great happenings around that. Peter's address to the crowd and how he told them what was happening there to the folks who had been filled with the Holy Spirit. How they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship of breaking bread, and to prayer. How they were this crippled man there, and how he was healed. Because Peter and John said, listen, we don't have any money to give you, silver or gold I don't have, but what we have we'll give you. And he said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, Nazareth, walk. And he got up and walked. And it was a miracle. And the Sanhedrin and all, they saw this. They told Peter and John, said, fellas, you can't be doing this now. You can't be preaching anymore in the name of Jesus. You can't be telling people about the resurrection power of Jesus. And they said, listen, we choose to listen to God and not to man. And they said, salvation's found in no other but the Lord Jesus Christ. The people were together, and they had one heart and one mind. They were talking boldly about the resurrection of Jesus, and things were really going good. They were selling their possessions and giving. Nobody was in need. Everybody was together, one heart, one accord, one mind. And man, they were living out the dream, so to speak, of the New Testament church. And then we run into a little trouble, and we'll talk about that today. Trouble in the church. Some use the word sin, some don't right here, but to me it appears very much like sin, and that it entered the church here, and it was serious business, people holding back on God. And so today I want you to think of your life, not mine or somebody sitting next to you, but I want you to think of yourself. And I want you to answer the question to yourself and to God, are you holding back on God? And if you're holding something back, I pray you'll release that and do the will of your Father in heaven today. So we start out in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 4 on the screen. And it says, now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself. He brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you've lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept yourself some of the money received from the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. So Ananias was in trouble here. This sin, this hypocrisy, this deceiving or trying to deceive God was serious, serious business. And his wife knew what was happening along with him. And you've got to remember, they were professing believers. They were, quote, members of the church. They professed Christ. And doing so, they were to deny themselves and live for the Lord. And they were to follow Christ as this one accord in things we've saw in the past. And they had a piece of property that they didn't need for their own necessities, and they sold it, Ananias and Sapphira. Again, professing to know Christ, professing to take him at his word, And they sold the property like Barnabas did at the end of last week. We saw what he did with a pure heart, with an encouraging heart. So I don't know if Ananias and Sapphira was trying to outdo him or what. I just don't know what happened right there. But I know they said they sold a piece of land. They were bringing that money to the apostles' feet to help people who were in desperate need of food and shelter and clothing and the gospel. That was the intent for that money. And they brought part of it. That's what got them in trouble. They just brought part of it. So this keeping back, if you will, this deception that was going on here, they were trying to deceive the church, trying to pull one over, if you will. So Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted the church to think they were fellow believers. They wanted the church to be part of the church, to be a part of a fellowship, and to be a part of what was going on here. They said they were loyal to Christ and His church, so they wanted to be included. But the problem was they didn't want it bad enough to commit themselves to Christ and the church fully. And if you ask me, there's a lot of folks in America today, in our own country, in that same boat. They want the benefit of a fellowship. They certainly will say to you, I sure don't want to split hell wide open. I want to go to heaven. I want to serve Christ. I want to serve the church. But something is held back. Something they hold back, whether it's a gift, a talent, money, time, treasure, whatever, they're holding back because of greed, because of selfishness, that kind of thing. So anyway, they present a lie here. They're saying, here's this money, and here's all of it. Peter says here, he says, Why'd you do this in so many words? That was your land. You could have done with it what you wanted to do. You could have brought part of the money, none of the money. I mean, that was up to you. But why did you lie to the church? Why did you lie to God? Not just man, but to God. Why did you do such a thing? Why did you allow Satan to fill your heart and do that? Well, He did allow Satan to get a hold of him because it certainly wasn't the Holy Spirit. And we've been looking at the coming of the Holy Spirit in the early New Testament church here, and we see what the Spirit of God was doing, and it was certainly not the Spirit of God here in Ananias. The Holy Spirit's not the person who stirs up sin. That's the spirit of the devil. The Holy Spirit don't stir up sin. He'll convict you of it. The Holy Spirit stirs up love and care and concern for fellow man. The Holy Spirit's not a murderer. That is the devil. So it's not hard to get him confused here. It's easy to see the difference. So keeping back or lying to man or to God is of the devil, not of the Holy Spirit. So the lie came. And it wasn't good. Satan is called the father of lies and a murderer. His purpose is to help, not to help, desperate people who are in need of salvation in our own community and around this world. The devil wants to stop the gospel to ever get to them. You understand that? Can I get an amen? I was reminded yesterday of those fans. I don't see one up here. I'd wave it at you. Did any of y'all remember what get that? A few of you? Yeah, more of you than I thought, huh? Okay. Can I get an amen? There he is, the culprit who started it. Anyway, that was a funny story. I'm sorry I got sidetracked. Will you forgive me? Lying to God is serious business. In this scripture, we see, and you know the story probably, but we're going to get to it, and you see how serious this business of lying to God is. So Satan had filled his heart, and he was in trouble here. Look with me at Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now we know that scripture. Not the first time you've heard it. So he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's not changed. That's still the word. That's still good for us today and the day and time that we live in. Matthew 25:41-46 on the screen says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Well, why do I need to help people? Why do I need, if I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, why do I need to help people? Because Jesus said to. Because Jesus gives us instruction on how to be a part of a church and a fellowship and how we're to help people. We're not to hold back. We're not to hold back on our time or our money or our talents or anything that we have. We are to be giving it as unto the Lord or to God himself. And that we don't want Satan to fill our hearts. We don't want to be deceived by what he would have us to do. So now lying to God, serious business. Lying to the Holy Spirit, serious business. A person says that he surrendered his life to Christ. I want the power of God. I want his anointing upon me, but yet not to the level that I will commit my entire soul, body, and mind to the kingdom of God. You say, well, now, wait a minute. That's kind of like I want my cake and eat it too. God has a purpose for all of us. God has a plan for all of us. And he says, if you want to be part of this fellowship, if you want to be part of the church of the living God that's universal, that's all believers, that's all people who are born again, you know, you got to act like it. You can't just profess it and go on living however you want to. That's not a part of my plan. And he says that in many places in the Word. A person that mocks God and his Word, it's not a good thing. People who say, I'm a Christian and live like the devil, it's a bad thing. You say, well, we're all at different growth levels in our Christian life. I would agree with you. We are. But if you profess for Jesus to be your Savior and Lord, you need to act like it. Amen? I'll try that again. Amen? If we profess that we're Christians, we need to act like it. What does that mean? That I'll never make a mistake? I didn't say that. And when I make a mistake, it seems to me like I can't just make it in front of Judy. It's that people know it all over the place. And I believe the devil sees to it. You know that old preacher, look how he acts. You ever been there, done that? Did you see how the preacher did this or the preacher did that? It's not about the preacher, but I do represent Jesus Christ. And I got to watch how I live, amen? Okay, now you know, you amen that. That preacher better watch out how he lives. Now, see if you'll amen this one. Well, now here's the congregation, all of us, which I'm a part of, and we profess to be Christians, so we must all watch how we live. Amen. You see, all of us. Because we want to bring glory to God. We don't want to mock His word and say we're Christians and we're going to follow Him and deny ourselves and then not follow through with what He says. Well, I want to go to heaven, that's for sure. But we cannot say that our God, as great as He is, does not have the power to help us in all areas of life. He does. The problem is, sometimes we do not want His solution. Sometimes we would rather be doing things our way and what we enjoy than listening to God. It's just that way. So when we say, oh yes, I'm a Christian, or I'm a part of whatever church, and then we do things that is not right in God's eyes, we're saying that He doesn't have enough power to change me. He doesn't have enough love to teach me. And He does. He does. And He demands, listen, demands is a strong word. He demands our loyalty. Amen? Or, oh me, Christ demands our loyalty. And we need to be loyal to Him. So, if God feels the infirmity of mankind, this is the food, the clothing, the shelter, the basic needs of man, if God feels that and He encourages us to help with that as Christian people, how much more now does God feel for the soul of man? The soul of man, that what's going on in the heart of man and his eternal destination. Yes, food, shelter, clothing, all that's very important to God. He asks us to help with those kinds of things. But the soul, how important is it, pardon me, that we share the gospel to God? Just on the scale of 1 to 10, we say sometimes, just where on the scale is it to God that we share the gospel? That we witness about Jesus Christ the Lord and His death and resurrection like Peter and John was doing. How important is that to God? It's at the top of the list. That's why He sent Jesus, His Son, to bring about salvation to man. And if we keep back, if we hold back, it's like we're distrusting God. We're not trusting God enough to provide. And I'm not preaching a tithing message here, but let's just talk about it a little bit while I'm here. If I will not give God 10% as He requires in His word for me to do, I want the privileges of the fellowship. I want the privileges of being associated with the church. But I don't want to give any money or tithe to it the way God says for me to do. Then I'm kind of like Ananias. I'm holding back. And, you know, just pay the power bill and the light bill and pay the staff and whatever. Just somebody will give some money to do all that. It's all of us. It's all of us to do that. We don't need to hold back on the money. We don't need to hold back on the witnessing. We don't need to hold back on the love and the care and providing things for families when they need it. We're to go to them and provide it, not hold back. So God cares about all the basics of life. He cares about the soul even more. And the gospel reaching Clarkdale, yes, Mississippi, our nation, and around the world. God wants the gospel to be spread across this earth. And we need to trust Him. Deny Himself, is what He says to man. Ron, you need to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Jesus. That's what he says to all of us. And then, in Matthew 6:33 on the screen, he says, "Now if you'll seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So now I want you to pick up your cross, Christian. I want you to follow me. And if you'll do that, I'll meet your needs. I'll take care of you. I want you to seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Spiritual things will be added. Blessings will be added. I believe material blessings will be added. I want you to seek me and follow me first, and I will take care of you. I'll take care of you. He promises that to his people. Well, if we look at verses 5 and 6 on the screen, when Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. A great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then the young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. They said to him, why did you allow Satan to fill your heart this way? Why'd you lie to God? And then, boom, he dropped dead. Is that serious or what? Boom. It was over. The young man come, carried him out, and buried him. Well, seems serious to me. Now, Peter didn't do that himself. God did. But now, Peter, he did go on and talk to the wife here. And he said, "Hey, did you know anything about this? Is this or the price? Yeah, that's it. This is all the money." He said, "You're in trouble too. If I come to God, if I say I'm a Christian, if I say that I am a, quote, member of Jones Chapel Church of God, I believe God expects me to be genuine and pure and do those things. Right or wrong? I believe it's right. He expects us to do those things together, to have this oneness, to have, up till now, it's just been wonderful in the book of Acts. We see the miraculous happen. We see the oneness, the unity, the togetherness, the prayer, the breaking bread together. We just see it's wonderful. And we get here and we see a man and woman lying to God. And God says, "I take that serious," and boom, you're gone. You're dead. Why did you let Satan fill your heart? You didn't just lie to a man, you lied to God. Serious business. Now, who knows the heart completely? Only God. Only God sees the heart completely. We think we know people. And we do to some degree, and we see the fruit and all that. The Bible talks about the fruit of the life. But who sees the heart? God himself sees the heart. Judgment comes to people who don't listen to God. Romans 6:23 on the screen, you know it well, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." For people who continue in sin, the penalty, the benefit, if you will, of sin's death, but the gift of God's eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, very serious business. What we say and what we do, it needs to match up. Well, what's the remedy for sin? If we're sitting here today and the Holy Spirit speaks to us and reveals something in our life and it would be sinful, then how do we take care of that? There's only one way: confession and repentance. We confess sin and we repent of it and we turn from it. That's the only way it's ever been or ever will be. God, my Father in heaven, hates sin. It's not changed. We live in 2016 and we watch the news and we know all the things of the political process, of the educational system, on and on. We could talk about things like that today for hours. We know the time we live in, and God still hates sin today in 2016. He still does. He has not changed. And he has not said to the church, well, we know that it's 2016. God says sin is still sin. God says, I know it's 2016, but my word is still good today. Don't care what political party you are. I don't care where you come down on these issues over here and all this. I'm here to tell you sin is still sin. And if you think you can let up on it as the church, you're wrong. If you think you can live like the devil all week long and run into the church and want to be a part of the fellowship and your heart is far from the things of God, you're wrong. Sin's still sin, and God says, I hate it. But I love people. And the only thing you can do if you're in that sinful lifestyle, in this sinful habit or whatever, I'll tell you what you can do. You confess that to the Lord Jesus Christ and you repent of it. And Jesus said, guess what? I'll be faithful to you and I'll forgive you of that sin and you can be acceptable to me. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We know that scripture well too, but we need to listen to it. Verses 7 through 10 on the screen. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, this is the price. Peter said to her, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Serious business. Ananias, the head of his household, Ananias was to set the example. He was responsible for his wife, and he led her right into sin. He led her into sin. They knew it together, and he come up with the plan through the enemy, it seems like, and he and she, they both knew it. And he led her right into sin. And look what happened to her. She died too. We don't want to be a stumbling block for others. We certainly don't. Ananias was for her. Verse 11 there on the screen says, great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. I guess so. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. pardon me, I'm sorry. Somebody just drops dead this morning in this building, it'll shake us up, right? Get our attention. And certainly under circumstances like this, so that great fear seized the whole church and who heard about it. God said, I believe that, look here, all these events in the book of Acts we've been coming to, man, it has been great. But now listen, church, you can't lie to me and get by with it. You can't do it as a person. You can't deceive the church. You can't deceive God. But people can deceive other people, I guess. But God and His true church, listen, you can't deceive God. So pay attention to how we live. Pay attention. Now, judgment's coming, and we don't like to hear much about that, but it's coming. Does it come as swift today as it did on Ananias and Sapphira? That's up to God, I guess. But the thing about it is, well, I've not dropped dead today, even though whatever. But I assure us all, judgment will come. It will come. It might not be this aggressive, but it will come. So we've got to look in the mirror. We've got to see how we're living and walk that straight and narrow path. Walk the straight and narrow path. Live righteously in this present world, the Bible says. If you look at Titus 2, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing for our God, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus 2, 12 through 13. Young people, older people, middle-aged people, all people. The Bible teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're to be living righteous lives and holy lives today, and waiting and looking and anticipating for Jesus Christ Himself to come again. Amen? And He is coming again. He is. I don't know when, but He is. And it tells us how to live. So, here we are in 2016, and how many people and how many isms, if you will, would say that Christianity stuff's outdated. It's no good, and on. We, again, could talk for days about that. But what does the Bible say? This is a good example here today about living for God and not being hypocritical, not being deceiving, but being a genuine, blood-bought child of the living God and living for Him. Partial commitment to God will not do. Now, we all get caught up in this, that, or the other for some times, I guess, but partial commitment to God will not do. He says, I want all of you. I want your whole being. I want you to be dedicated and devoted and genuine and pure and focused upon the kingdom of God. After all, you say you're mine. After all, you say you're a Christian, so be Christ-like. You're a follower of Jesus Christ the Lord, so follow Him. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we listen to what the Father, the Son, and the Spirit says to us. We're His servants. He is the Master. It's not changed in 2016. Partial commitment to God will not work. Think about it. Trying to deceive people, oh, you fool people, sometimes. But we never fool God. Never. He sees us the way we are. And you cannot deceive Him. And He loves you no matter what you're doing, no matter what kind of deceiving behavior you try to have, or you may not do that at all. But if you're trying to do it, young people, teenagers, children, older people, you cannot fool God. He sees everything that happens. He sees what we post on Instagram. He sees what pictures we send to other people. He sees what we view on the internet. He sees our heart, and He has not changed. He hates sin. Young and old, no matter the technology age or the old-fashioned age, God hates sin. Don't try to deceive God. You cannot do it. So that brings me to close. And the question is, who's in control of your life? Who's in control of your life right here and now? Is it you? I'm in control of my own life. Do you have that attitude? I'll do what I want to do when I want to. I'm in control of my life. That's one option. Is the devil in control of your life? You refuse to be saved. You say, I have no need for God. I have no need for church. I have no need of that. I'm just going to live the way I want to, so that therefore the devil has you and you don't want to change. Is the devil in control of your life? You in control of it? Or is the Holy Spirit in control of your life? You know the answer to that. As well as I know the answer in mine. So today, would you take the story of Ananias and Sapphira? Would you take it to heart? Would you, wherever you're at in your journey and your walk with God, understand that God Almighty loves you, loves us all, loves a person who is even trying to deceive Him? He loves them. But He won't tolerate sin forever. So, wherever you're at in your journey, you must know God loves you. You must know, if you're in sinful habits or conditions, that God says, if you'll repent of that, if you'll confess that, guess what? I will forgive you. But you need to be genuine, and you need to be pure about it. You need to mean it when you ask for forgiveness of whatever. Mean it and turn from it. So, here we are. Time to go. There's the word. What will we do with it? I invite you to allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in your life, young, old, wherever we're at. And know that God loves you, but He will not tolerate a sinful lifestyle and mocking His word. Would you stand with me? Our Father, today we thank You as always for Your word. We thank You for the book of Acts and what we've been learning in the book of Acts. And Lord, we come to this portion of Scripture and we see how serious any acts of deceivement or hypocrisy or holding back or lying to You, how serious that is. So God, that word was written many years ago, but it's still very powerful and good for us today. So, Father, here we are, standing in Your presence. And, Father, we ask that You just simply shine a spotlight in our souls today, that this is between God and me today. It's not between everybody else right now, and God. It's between Ron and God, and every person can insert their name in the blank. It's between them and God today. Whether it's something we need to take care of in the pew or around an altar, may we experience Your love today. May we experience Your forgiveness today. May we experience the freedom from any sin today. And Father, help us to be Your witness and your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're going to sing I Live for Him. It's hymn number 390. Number 390, I Live for Him.
Can I say one more thing here? Now is the time to worship. Let's sing that. You say, preacher, you've lost it. Now's the time to worship. You just give us a hellfire and brimstone. Everybody needs to repent. No, I didn't do that necessarily. Do you know repentance and confession is an act of worship? Do you believe that or not? I believe that. If the Spirit convicts me of something, I need to confess that. That is an act of worship to the Lord. All right? So, again, I'm going to be quiet. I've done changed the song. I know it's time to go. But would you, for just a moment in time, think about God standing before Him. And we are. We're standing before God. And one day we'll stand before Jesus and we'll see Him face to face. And all our school age children face and our college students face. All that young married couples face. All that middle aged folks face. Older saints face. God still has the answer. God's still loving people. God's still forgiving people. God is still saying, if you repent and confess, turn from that sin, man, I'll forgive you. But don't think you're going to fool God. So as an act of worship to Him today, would you ask for forgiveness if you need it? As an act of worship to God, would you say today, God, oh, I remember that sin. And you've forgiven and forgotten it. But today, I just want to say thank you for your grace and mercy as an act of worship to Him. Just be real. Just be true to God for a few moments in time.